It's great to be here again. Hermanus sends his love. We have sea as well as mountains, in case you are in need of that. Last time I was here, I think I shared a little bit about what it means to follow Christ and the fact that we used to follow our own desires and our own will. And at some point in our lives, we came to the realization that this direction is going to lead to death. And God has made a new way through His Son, and that we need to repent, we need to change, we need to turn 180 degrees and face a new King. And that new King is Christ. And then, as we have come to that place of realization that somebody has given their life for us, that we don't have to die, but we can have a relationship with God, and we realize that this is leading to the opposite, we turn around and we face the new King, that is repentance. And then the journey starts following Christ. And that's really what Christianity is about. It's a process of change. It's a process of following Christ. And that following is part of that adventure. And that is so important to actually understand that the purpose of Christianity is to become more like Christ, the one that we follow. And I think the challenge for many Christians is that we meet people that declare Jesus as Lord, but then do this. They continue the way they used to go. But Christianity is not like that. It is about following the King, His word, His example, and His voice. And then as we do that, as we put our faith and trust in Him and we start to follow Him, you know what? God changes us. We can't change ourselves, but Scripture says that we are changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God into the very image of Christ. So as we follow Him, the Holy Spirit comes and changes us and we become more like Him in the way we live our lives. And then as we grow up in this relationship with God, He leads us to different places in our life as we change. And then at some point, all of us, as we are following Christ, we come to this one place which is like an edge. And that is kind of as we grow up in our relationship with Him and we get to know the Father and His love and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we learn to discover the love that He has for us and how we respond to that, and we grow in our understanding of that, there's going to come a point in every believer's life when we get to this edge. And this edge is when we expose not just to the family of God, but when we expose to the family business of God. As any child, as they grow up in the relationship with God, there comes a certain time in a child's life when the father will expose him to the family business and say, this is the family, but I want to show you what this family is about. What is my trade? What is my business? Because I want to introduce you to the family business. And so many Christians, as we follow Christ, there comes a point where we are introduced to the family business. Who of you have come to that point? Where God starts, not a lot of you, okay, you're still on the journey, but I know there's many more of you, because you will come to this point and where God says, listen here, now that you're in the family, I want to expose you to the family business. And the family business is getting people saved. That is what is God's business. It's about the kingdom. The kingdom advances when people are saved. That's how we see the kingdom of God advances, is when people turn, when people come to the realization that there is a God that loves me and I need to follow Him. That's how the kingdom advances. It advances through the salvation of souls. That is the heart, the passion, the joy of God, is to see sinners saved. That is the business of God. That is the family business of God. And as we grow in our relationship with God, we'll come to this point where God shows us the family business. And for many of us, it feels like this huge leap that we need to take. It's a bit scary. It's a bit uncomfortable. And we don't always know how to do this. And then we start to follow Christ like this. And we see He's going there and we're going like this. But we know He's going that way and we've been following Him. And then all of a sudden we get to this. And this is a scary place. Because being part of the family of God and the family business of God is going to require something from us. And the message this morning is a very simple one. It is, are you willing? Are you willing to partake in my business? And I really believe God is asking that question to many of us here today. As you've been following Him, He's bringing you to this point and He's asking you, are you willing? And for many of us, we're afraid because it seems as if we have to take this massive leap to start to get involved in the family business. But it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be a massive blind leap. For some of us, that works. But you know what? It doesn't have to be like that because there's little steps that you can take to get into the business. You don't have to jump. God has a desire, a purpose, a plan. And as a child of God, He wants to pour that desire into all of our hearts. And He wants all of us to partake in that same purpose. We read here in 1 Timothy 2, from verse 3. It says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior." I'm reading from a different translation than what is behind me. "But this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." That is God's desire. If you want to know what is the Father's desire, the Father's will, the Father's plan, the Father's passion, that is to see all men to come to salvation and the knowledge of the truth. That is the Father's heart. That is the Father's business. And He wants His children to share in that same passion. He wants to pour that desire in our hearts. My question to you this morning is, are you willing? I mean, are you willing to partake in what God is doing? Are you willing to be part of His business? Jesus came into the world with this passion. Here in Luke 19 verse 10, we read about that. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus came into the world with the same passion as the Father, with the same will, with the same desire, with an understanding of the family business, and He came to this world to establish it. Here in Matthew 9, we read, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And then He said to His disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest.'" Who of you have read that portion of Scripture before? Most of us. Well, can I ask you a simple question? In the parable, who is the harvest? Not a trick question. It's the lost. In this parable, who is the laborers? Look to the person next to you. Jesus is saying the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out His laborers. Isn't this an amazing day? Because we have together here a concentration of children of God. Father, I want to thank You that we can be here today in Your name because of what You have done for us through Your Son. Because of Your love, because of Your passion, because of Your desire, Lord, we stand here today, God, in this amazing grace, knowing that we are Your children. Father, and I know You are here today and You're asking us to partake with You in the harvest, in Your desire, in Your purpose, to see Your kingdom grow, to see the lost be saved. And God, You're speaking to us as Your children and You're asking us this morning if we are willing, if we are willing to step into the harvest and to follow You as You are reaping. And Lord, You're saying that as You are reaping, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and we need to ask the Father to send out more laborers. God, we are here today to ask you to send us into your field. And the question that you are asking us this morning is simply this: are we willing? Are we willing to follow you into the harvest? And God, I pray that each of one of us will respond to that call in Jesus' name. Amen. I can stop here, but I still have time. One day Jesus was traveling with his disciples, and Jesus was busy. He was ministering everywhere. Everywhere he came, people flocked around him and brought the sick and the oppressed and the captive. And Jesus ministered and healed and poured his life into them everywhere. And Jesus is human just like us. And the more you give of yourself, you know, the more you come to the place where you become weak, you become tired, you become almost depleted within yourself because you constantly give. And Jesus was constantly giving. And at one stage, as they were going through Jerusalem, that Jesus decided, listen here, I need a break, and let's take a detour out of Jerusalem, away from the crowd. And as they were traveling away through Samaria, Jesus was physically weak. And his disciples saw that, and they saw that Jesus was getting weak. And they said, Lord, please, there's a little town there. Why don't you just sit here by this well under this tree and rest? Because you need to regain your strength, and we can see that you are tired and weak. And just wait here. We will go into this town, and we will find you some food that you may eat and recover. Because you need to rest, Lord. And Jesus obliged, and he was sitting at this well. And while the disciples went into the town, we know the story of the Samaritan woman that came to the well to get some water. And while she was there, there was this interaction between Christ and this woman, and she got saved. And at that point, the disciples returned with some food to their weak and weary Lord. But they found someone completely energized and excited. And they were confused. Because just a couple of hours ago, there was this weak, weary man. And as they returned, this was a different picture altogether, as an excited Christ engaging with this woman. And we take it up from there. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no one said, why do you seek or why are you talking with her? The woman then left a water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came to him. But in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them these powerful words, I have food that you do not know of. And then they were even more confused. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has someone brought him anything to eat that we do not know of? I mean, what does he mean he's got food that we don't know of? I mean, we brought food and clearly he has been sustained by something. Has anybody else brought him something? And then Jesus replied to them and he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus was saying these powerful words. He says, that what sustains me is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You know, it reminds me of when Jesus was tempted in the desert and he was physically weak and weary and the devil came to tempt him, remember, to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus responded by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, we need God's word to sustain us, to give us life. But then Christ goes on and he says, there's something else that sustains me. And that is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. We need both. I mean, who of you were ever weary and tired and then God spoke to you? I mean, he spoke to you in a way that you knew that he was speaking to you. I mean, that changes you. That produces life within you. I mean, it is like water to a plant that is dying of thirst. The word of God to us, the Rhema word, when we know, but God is speaking to me. I mean, how powerful is that? It brings forth life out of death. But then there's something else that sustains us continually. And that is to do the will of him who sends us and to finish his work. I mean, that's something else. As a Christian, I want to challenge you. There is a place in your life that you will never find the fulfillment outside of doing his will and finishing his work. There is a place that maybe you haven't yet discovered of that absolute fulfillment and sustaining power of God when you start to work with him in what he's busy with and being part of that. That's something that is going to change your life. And maybe as a Christian, you have been following Christ, but it's like you've been reaching a ceiling in your experience of the life that he promises. I want to invite you, I want to challenge you to take those steps into the harvest. Because as you start to partake in what he's doing, you will discover something that will change your life. Jesus says that what sustains me is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I mean, what are you hungry and thirsty for? I mean, what do you really want in life? I mean, if you just think about it, what do you really want in life? Because that what you're hungry and thirst for will determine what you'll be filled with. That what you really want will determine what you are satisfied with and what you will fill yourself with. And as we follow Christ, we see what he really wants, what he really desires is to see the will of God be done and to finish the work, to see the lost saved. And as he pursued that, we can see how it sustains him. You know what? In this life, there are just so many stuff as Christians that we pursue and that we fill ourselves with that doesn't satisfy. And maybe you're here this morning and you feel as if you've been pursuing life, but it doesn't satisfy. Well, there's something. It's the harvest. And as you start to participate with him in this harvest, you will discover something. Jesus says, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will wear, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. I mean, what do you really want in life? God challenges us, well, pursue my will, pursue my kingdom, pursue my work. And not only will that sustain you, I will look after the rest. I mean, why do you worry about this life and what you will eat and what you will wear and where you're going to sleep and what? My Father knows you need all these things. He knows. But there's the work, there's the business, there's the field, the harvest. Pursue that. And he will bless you. He will provide for you. Because in following him, you will find life. We all know that. But somehow, as Christians, when we get to that little edge, when it comes to the harvest, we feel intimidated. There are stuff that keeps us from making that step. It's interesting, in Romans chapter 8, God sent Christ not just to set us free from our sins, but to give us a birthright into the family of God, into an inheritance, into a legacy, into a purpose. You know, it says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And it's such an amazing privilege to know that God has given His Son not just to set us free, but He's given His Son to give us an inheritance, to give us a birthright, to give us purpose, to give us destiny that leads somewhere. And God says, listen, come partake with me that you can share with me. And the question is simply, are you willing to follow Him into the harvest? I know for many of us, we've been following Him. But this morning He's asking a simple question, are you willing to follow me into the harvest? Are you willing? You know, and then He gave us the same Spirit that was on Christ as the seal that we belong to Him. But more than that, to empower us to do the work. Sometimes we embrace sonship and we embrace the fact that we have been called as children, but we're nervous when it comes to the business of God. And the Holy Spirit was given not just to edify us, not just to be a seal on us, but to actually empower us to do the work. That's why we received that. That's why Jesus, when He went back to His Father, He said, listen, you guys, before you do anything, wait for the Holy Spirit. Because when He comes, He will empower you to be witnesses. So we've been given the Holy Spirit to empower us to do the work. As we embraced into the family of God, God exposes us to the business of God. And then He says, I've also empowered you to do it. Because when we stand at that edge, one of the things that we are afraid of is that we are not able to do this work. We are not able to witness. We don't know how to witness. We don't know where to start. We're intimidated by the need and the challenge and our own contribution and our own ability. And God says, it's not about your ability. It's not about your ability. I've already given you everything that you need. You must just follow me. Are you willing? Are you willing to follow me? The question is not, are you ready? The question is, are you willing? I remember my own salvation. I remember how God called me when I was a sinner. As a matter of fact, I was not just a sinner. I was so depressed, I wanted to kill myself. Life made no sense. So I wanted to kill myself, but God stopped that through His grace and love. And He said, no, I love you. I've given my Son for you that you may have life. That you don't have to die. My life changed that day when I embraced God's love for me. It changed my life completely. When I all of a sudden realized how much God loved me and I started to look at how He looks at me, it changed the way I looked at myself. And it changed my life forever because I knew God loved me. And then soon after that, God called me to follow Him. As a young Christian. I mean, I just hardly got to know the love and the excitement of a father that loves me when he said, but I have a business. I want to share this business with you. I want you to partner with me in my business. He gave me purpose. All of a sudden, my life changed completely. Christ was sent by the Father with a mandate and a purpose. And Christ came into the world and he said, in John 8 verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then later on in John 9, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then Christ, after he established the kingdom on earth, he went back to the Father. And then he called his disciples to him. And he said, I'm going back. But I want you to finish the work. I mean, when he prayed for his disciples, he said, Father, in the same way you have sent me, I'm now sending them to continue. I mean, they are now your children, as I am your child. I came into this world as the only begotten son to become the firstborn of many brethren. And they are all co-heirs with me. And we have the same legacy and the same business and the same purpose. And then in Matthew, he said something powerful. He said, you are the light of the world. I mean, I came into the world as the light of the world, but now you are. You are the light of the world. You have me in you. And you have a purpose. That light has a purpose. It says here, a town on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do the people lit a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it somewhere where everybody can see it. But you know, as Christians, even though we have the light, you know what we do? We're intimidated. We're intimidated by the world. We're intimidated by our own ability. We're intimidated by the challenge. And what we end up doing is hiding ourselves from the world. We go into the darkness, into the world, into our schools, into our families, into our workplaces, into society with the life of God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the calling of God. And we are intimidated, afraid as we look to ourselves. Not to God, but to our own ability. And we hide ourselves. You know what is the challenge about a light under a bucket? It doesn't change the light. But it inhibits its purpose. I mean, Jesus put it so powerfully. It says, that's not why you lit the light. You know what's the other challenge about a light under a bucket? If you leave it there long enough, it will die. Just give it some time. It's going to die eventually. God says that's not the purpose of light. Our purpose is not to be hidden. Our purpose is actually meant to be seen. It's actually meant to be taken and placed somewhere where everybody can see it. And so many Christians, you know what, slowly but surely they're dying. Because we all follow Christ to a certain point and then he goes on and then we start following the edge up and down. You know, and we get fed more truth and more life and exposed to more truth and more life. And we're running around here and Christ is moving on. And we start to become like dissatisfied. And we start to look at one another. What is he doing and what is he doing? And what is he doing is not right and what he's doing I don't agree with. And you know, have you experienced that before? When Christians start to do this, we start to look at one another because Jesus is going on, but that's a bit tricky. So we start to look here instead of just following him. Sooner but surely that light starts to like dimmer. But God calls us to follow him and he says there's life in that. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. God is saying, don't say it's still a long time. Look, it's already white. It's ready. You don't need to first plow and then sow and then water and then wait. It's ready. The problem is we look differently than God does. We see differently than God do. God says this in here, it's ready. We look to ourselves and say, we are not ready. We look to ourselves and say, we don't have the ability, we don't have the training, we don't have the expertise, we don't have the eloquence, we don't have the confidence. And God says, no, it's not about you, really. I believe God is simply asking, are you willing to trust me and follow me? Have faith in me. You know, one of the reasons why we hide ourselves under the bucket is because we don't trust him. We don't. We are intimidated. There are many reasons why we do not want to take that step into the harvest because of so many things. Maybe you're saying, well, Andries, I'm not a leader. I have a history. I have issues. I have impediments. I'm not a good communicator. Well, you know, God once calls a man who was on the run, running away from his past, his identity, his people. He had a history, he had issues, he had impediments. And when he was as far away as he possibly could get, God called Moses. I mean, Moses was running away. I mean, he was running away from his past. He was running away from his history. He was running away as far as he possibly could. And when he was as far as he possibly could get away from the purpose of God, God called him and said, Moses, what are you doing? Where are you, Moses? Moses, I want you to go back to my people. Remember Moses? He was there in the field. The burning bush, remember? He's chasing after the sheep, the one that got lost. And then God spoke to him. He said, Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on hollow ground. Holy ground. And God called Moses, and what did Moses do? Moses started to look at his own ability. Remember? You know, we read of that in Exodus 3. So now God speaks to Moses. Now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. And then Moses started to look at his own ability. And if you read, you'll find many excuses. But the first one, Moses started by saying to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I? I mean, God, you are calling me, but who am I to go to Pharaoh? I mean, who am I to tell him what he must do? And then Moses started to go through a lot of excuses, and I'm just mentioning the last two. And then Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord, for I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Moses is saying, listen here, God, I stutter. I can't communicate. What do you mean you want to use me? I mean, as a matter of fact, God, I was stuttering before you called me. And now that you've called me, since you've called me, I still stutter. Nothing has changed. You notice that? Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since that you've spoken to your servant. So your calling didn't change me, Lord, in case you didn't notice. I still stutter. I still can't do what you want me to do. I still have the same problem, the same inability, the same impediment I had before you called me. And then later on, you know, as he was debating with God, he saw that God is not understanding. So he said it very plainly. He said, pardon your servant. In other words, pass me by. Just, you know, pardon your servant, send someone else. I can't do this. You know what was God's response? When Moses was busy giving God the 101 reasons why he could not do what he was called to do, or he was looking at his own ability and everything that he could not do, God said, Moses, what can you do? Don't tell me what you can't do, Moses. What do you have, Moses? And what did Moses say? Well, I've got a stick. God said, well, let's use that, Moses. Throw it on the ground. What do you have, Moses? Don't tell me what you don't have. I know you, Moses. It's not about you, Moses. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability. I mean, are you willing, Moses? That's all that I need. I'm not asking you whether you can do this. I'm not asking you whether you're ready. I'm asking, are you willing? So, Moses, what do you have? Well, I've got a stick, Lord. And God said, well, let's use that. Throw that on the ground, Moses. And Moses threw the stick on the ground, and God changed the stick into a serpent. And God used Moses with that same stick. He took that stick to Pharaoh. We know the story. He took that same stick and turned the river into blood. He used the same stick to open the Red Sea. He used the same stick to have water come from the rock. Once in obedience, once in disobedience, but nevertheless, God used whatever he had. Because it wasn't about Moses. Maybe you're thinking, well, that what I have, the challenge out there is too great. I mean, what possible difference can I make with the little that I've got? What possible difference can I do in this world? I mean, once Jesus was preaching to thousands of people, remember the 5,000? And then Jesus had compassion on them, and he turned to his disciples and said, guys, these guys are hungry. I mean, please feed them. And Jesus was laughing in his, what do you call it, mo? What's that? Laughing in his sleeve. You feed them. And they looked at each other and they thought, Lord, what do you mean? How can we possibly feed this multitude at this time of day? 7-Eleven is closed. I mean, even if it was open, we don't have enough money. I mean, how are we possibly going to do that? Jesus asked them, what do you have? Don't tell me what you don't have. What do you have? So they brought this 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God said, that's not enough. That's not going to do. I mean, how do you think I'm going to hardly feed a man with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Go get something else. Do better. Come back with more. No, he didn't do that. I said, well, give me that. Because it's not about you, Peter. It's not about you, Andrew. It's not about you, John. It's not about your ability, is it? Give me the little that you've got. I'll take all of it. I mean, it's not like you do 2,500 with 1 fish and 2 loaves. And you need another fish and another 2 loaves to do 5,000. Wasn't enough. But God said, just give everything. Give me all the little that you've got. And I will feed the 5,000. Because it's not about you. It's not about your ability. God is not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for willing people. He's just looking for people that is willing to bring the little that they've got to God. And God is saying, just trust me. Give me the little. I'll take all of it. The little that you, I'll take everything. I mean, maybe you feel that your contribution is insignificant. There was a widow that brought 1 copper coin. God said, wow, look at that. That's more than everybody else. We still talk about her. She brought 1 copper coin. God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for willing people. That's all that God. So if you're afraid that you don't have what it takes, just give him the little that you've got. Say, God, here I am. I'm willing. I'm willing. Because that's all that God is asking for. Maybe you're just a shepherd and all you have is a staff. God is saying, well, give me your staff. Maybe you're a plumber. Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a mom at home. God is saying, are you willing to follow me into the harvest? It's ripe. It's ready. I just need laborers. And that first step is simply just to say, here I am, God. I'm willing. I'm willing to be used. God, I'll give you the little that I've got. I know I'm not eloquent. I'm not a strong leader. I know I'm not ready yet. If you're still waiting to have your circumstances change and your abilities increase and you to get your degree and to get married, you're still looking at your own ability. God is simply saying, are you willing to trust me and to follow me in the harvest? Bring me the little that you got and follow me. And I will change that little bit into whatever is needed. But you must just trust me. You must just take that step of willing obedience and follow me. I remember when God called me. It was quite easy to give him everything because I didn't have much. I want to throw my life away. So it was quite easy for me to give God everything. Because I didn't want it. So I said, well, you can have it. I will die for you. I wasn't the brightest. I wasn't the cleverest. I wasn't the fastest. I was a bit dyslexic. I couldn't read English. I couldn't speak English. I said, oh, well, I don't want my life. You can have it. Little did I know. This is not about my ability. Nothing to do with me. I was just saying, okay, well, let's do this. God is asking you the same question. Are you willing? Are you willing to follow me into my business? Are you willing to present yourself available? That's all I'm looking for. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I'm just looking for willing people. Anybody? Is there anybody out there? I mean, you have the Spirit of God upon you. You have been, we've read it, Isaiah 61. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach, to heal, to set free, to proclaim. I mean, you have the same Spirit. Because it's not about your ability. It's simply about your availability. And God is simply asking, are you willing to take that step? Are you willing to wake up every morning and say, God, here I am. God, today I'm presenting myself. I'm responding to the call. I am signing up. Here I am, God. Use me. That's all that God is looking for. He's not looking for you to do anything. Yet. He's just asking you, are you willing? I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just asking you, are you willing? Just to say every morning, God, here I am today. God, I know you're passionate about the lost. And I know you want to see them saved. And God, I don't have the ability to do that. But I have what I have. I can give you the little, I can give you myself. God, here I am, use me. God, I'm willing to be used by you. That's all you need to do, really. That first step, little small step, just say, God, here I am. I'm willing. You know what we'll do? What he will do is, you will, as you ask him, you're going to realize that he's going to start to speak to you. You're going to say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it, Lord. But I am willing, God. As I go today to my class, as I go today to my workplace, God, I pray that you will use me. Teach me, God. Teach me. Show me. I mean, you've given me your spirit as the mentor, the counselor. So teach me, God. And you know what? As you take that little step into the field, you know what? God will start to speak to you. God will start to open your eyes. You say, God, I do not see what you see. You say the harvest is plentiful and it's ready. God, I just see a hostile world out there. So God, change the way I see. I want to see the way you see. And then you take another step, and then God starts to show you what's going on around you. And he starts to show you what he is busy with in people's lives. And all of a sudden you see a need, or you see somebody. And God will speak to you and say, just say hi to the guy. Hi. And then all of a sudden the guy starts to speak to you. And then he shares his life with you, and then you respond with, God loves you. And then, you know, you're a bit freaked out and you go on. And then before you know it, somebody else comes to this guy and says, hey, you know what? God's really laid on my heart that God loves you. And then somebody else comes and speaks. And before you know it, that person's life is being changed. Little by little. We don't, you know, we sometimes think we want to see an immediate salvation through our effort. That doesn't always work like that. Somebody sows seed, somebody waters the seed, and somebody preaches a sermon, and somebody responds to an altar call. But there's been a whole process of God using his children to sow the seed of life into people's lives. And all of a sudden, as you go with that expectation every day to be used by God, God starts to teach you about the people around you. And you start to notice things. And you start to grow in your boldness to say when you hear God say something. And he's going to teach you. He's going to show you. You don't need to worry about what you need to do and when you need to do it. Just be sensitive. Just be willing. And as you are willingly coming to him, he will speak to you. And he will show you. And God will give you words and prophecies. And you're going to start to pray for people at your workplace. Who have you been saved through somebody's prayers? You, I've been saved because my grandmother prayed. I wanted to commit suicide. My grandmother didn't know what was wrong, but she prayed for me every single night. She lived in our house. She went on her knees and she whispered. I could audibly hear how she prays for me. I'm saved because of her prayers. Hey, my brother was saved because of my prayers. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. What a privilege. I mean, I was not born in India among the untouchables. I was born in a Christian home. My parents went to church every Sunday. Took us along. I mean, I was privileged. I grew up in this. We still have the same house. I mean, we lived in the same house. We never moved. It's a privilege. I went to the same primary school. I went to the same high school. I went to the same church. I was exposed to lots of grace and I got saved. My brother grew up in the same town, in the same house, in the same parents, went to the same primary school, went to the same church, went to the same high school, and he rejected God. And then one day, he went to the same institution as I went to study. Went to Elsenburg. Yeah, some good comes out of it. And he went to the same college. And he didn't make it. He didn't make the first 6 months. But he was living with me. And I was praying for my brother. And I realized, but God, this guy has rejected you. And I realized, Father, he had the same measure of grace than I had. And he doesn't deserve anything more. I know that, Father. But then, as I was praying, I was reading Acts 10, verse 4, Cornelius. When the angel appeared to Cornelius and he said to him, your alms and your prayers have become like a monument before God. And then I said, you know, God, I know my brother doesn't deserve any more grace. I realize that, Father. But I'm going to build a monument for him every day. I'm going to pray for extra grace in his life. I'm going to pray, Father, that you will give him more grace. Even though he doesn't deserve it, Father, I know. But I'm going to build a monument. I'm going to pray for him every day for extra grace. And you know what? A year later, he came to church and Fred made an altar call about a woman suffering of bleeding. You know that woman that pushed through the crowd just to touch Jesus' hem? And he said, I believe there's a woman here that needs to respond to God. And we're all sitting there in the kneel scene. We were like, small. We were waiting for this woman. There's this awkward silence. And nobody responds. You're getting like uncomfortable. And then my brother stood up from the back and he walked all the way forward. Gave his life to God. Prayer is powerful. I mean, for some of us, taking that first step into the harvest is simply saying, God, I want to pray for my brother, my sister, my mother, my colleague, my friend. The guy that I meet every day at shop. Start to pray just with an expectation. Say, God, I want to be used. I want to be part of what you are doing. And I want to bring this person before you, God. And I want to ask for extra grace. Start to pray. Start to pray with an expectation. Start to be involved in the business of God. Volunteer at church. Start to be part in counseling, in facilitating. Just take that step. God is just simply asking you, are you willing? Bring me the little that you've got. If you feel the only thing that you can do is pray, then pray. If you feel you can facilitate, then facilitate. If you feel you can't do it anyway because I will use you. Because it's not about your ability. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability. And I have given you my spirit that will empower you to do the work. Just follow me. So the question this morning is simply this. I'm going to close with a simple question. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26 to 29 says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before him. You know what is so powerful? Jesus called fishermen. Fishermen. Not educated, wealthy, influential people. He called fishermen who didn't have a lot. And he simply said, follow me. And I will change you. I will change you to become something else. God is simply asking that same question to us as his children this morning. He says, are you willing to follow me? I will change you. And it's so beautiful. It says, immediately they left their nets. And they followed him. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. We want to thank you that you have come to give us life through your Son. And you've come to give us identity. You've come to give us purpose. You've come to give us an inheritance, a confidence, a joy, to know that you love us, to know that we can come to you and you hear us, to know that you accept us, you embrace us for who we are. Not for what we have done, because it's not about our merit, it's about your merit. It's about what you have done through your Son that brings us close to you. It's simply our willingness to respond in faith to what you have done. And you say, that is enough for me. And God, as we are drawn into your family, you show us our legacy, our purpose in Christ. And you say, the harvest is plentiful, go and make disciples. All authority has been given to me, go. I've blessed you with my spirit. Go. You have everything you need for life and godliness. Go. You've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Go. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Go. You will receive power to be my witnesses. You don't need to worry what to speak or what to say, because I will teach you. Just go. Father, we want to thank you for that awesome privilege to step with you into your purpose, to do your will and to finish your work. You even said you're not coming back until it's finished. So God, I want to pray as you asked and commanded in your word that we must ask you for more laborers. God, I'm asking today for more laborers, because the harvest out there is ready, but the laborers are just so few, God. So I want to ask, Lord, this morning, I want to ask for laborers. I want to ask for willing people. I want to ask for people that will trust you with the little that they've got, with sticks and stones and bread and fishes and pens and footballs and brains and ideas. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for people to bring the little that they've got this morning and to say, here I am, Father, take it. Use me. I'm willing, God. People that are willing to wake up every day with that desire, Lord, to be used by you and to present themselves ready to be used. God, I want to pray for that this morning. If you are here this morning and God is speaking to you and you want to respond, I want you to respond to God and say, God, here I am. I'm willing. Maybe you've never done this before, but God is simply asking you, are you willing to step into the harvest? Maybe you've never heard God calling you. Maybe He's calling you today for the very first time. Maybe you think you are worthless. Maybe you think you're insignificant. Maybe you think your life is meaningless. Well, that is a lie. That is a lie. God loves you. And He has a purpose for your life, and He wants to bless you. If you've never responded to God's call for your life, I want to give you an opportunity right now just to respond, just where you're seated. Say, God, here I am, by raising your hand. God, I want to respond to that call. I want to bring you my life. I want to give you my life, God. I want to thank you for what you've given to me. If you've raised your hand, I want you to quickly be bold. Bring your belongings and quickly come forward. I want to pray with you. I want to pray that God will bless you. So I want to ask you just to quickly come forward. If you've raised your hand, just quickly bring your stuff. And I want to pray with you. I want to pray that God will seal this moment in your life forever as you bring your life to Him. And then I want to ask for the rest of us while we are just praying. Just in your own heart, I want you just to communicate with God, just where you're seated. Just to say, God, I want to respond to your word. I want to give you an opportunity just to speak to Him in your own heart. And if you are willing, I want you just to stand where you are, just before God. We're not going to minister to you. It's just between you and God, but I want you to take an action. I want you to spend some time in your heart, speak to God. And God is asking you, are you willing to follow me into the harvest? I'm looking for laborers. I'm looking for willing people. Not perfect people, but willing people. And if you are willing, just between you and God, just stand before Him. Father, we want to thank you for these lives here in front. God, we want to thank you, God, for the purpose of your Son being fulfilled today right here. God, we want to thank you for these lives, Lord, that are turning to you. God, we want to thank you, Father, that every time a sinner repents, you are worshipped because the purpose of the sacrifice of your Son is fulfilled. And you receive all the glory. God, we want to thank you for these lives that are changing here right now for eternity. God, we want to thank you, God, for this dedication, Lord, for this celebration in heaven, God, as destiny is formed for eternity. God, we want to thank you, God, for these lives, Lord, that will not be the same again. And that life will flow into it. and it will change it. God, we want to thank you for these lives. Lord, I want to thank you for all the hearts that are responding right now this morning, God. And I want to pray, Father God, for that boldness and that faith and that expectation and that willingness, God, every single day, God. I want to pray, Lord, that you will birth in us such a desire, God, to see your will done and your work finished. God, I pray, Lord, that people will start to ask you to mentor, to teach through your Spirit, God. I want to pray, Lord, for people to wake up hearing your voice, God, hearing the voice, God, as you go to work. Lord, I want to thank you, God, that even you don't speak to us every day. When you do speak to us, we'll be willing, God. When we go to our workplace and you show us somebody, you lay somebody on our heart, Lord, that we will have the boldness, God, and the sensitivity to do as you call us, God. I want to pray, Lord, for people, Lord, that will volunteer in your business, in your church, God. Lord, to present themselves willing and able, Lord, every day, Lord. I want to pray that as we conclude this meeting, God, that you will send them, God, by the power of your Spirit, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, into this town. Lord, that lights will go on everywhere. That lights will come out under buckets, Lord, into the darkness, Lord. Here, there, everywhere. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 1,000. God, I pray for lights to come out of buckets, Lord, and into the city, Lord, willing to be used, God. I just pray, Father, that you will send them into the harvest, God, to sow seed everywhere and to water seed everywhere and to expect and to pray everywhere, every day, God, that you will teach us to make the harvest part of our life, Lord, as we go about the things that we do. And God, I pray for disciples to be raised, Lord, through these lives. Lord, I pray that you will bless them with the privilege to see the fruit of their labor as they sow love, as they sow truth, as they sow compassion. Lord, so I just pray, Lord, for every heart that has responded. Lord, I pray for staffs, Lord, to open Red Seas. God, Lord, I pray for little food, God, to feed multitudes. God, Lord, I pray for little coins, Lord, to change nations. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, for the dead to raise, Lord, sick to be healed, Lord, the captive set free, God. Lord, I pray just for deliverance and healing and prosperity and life, God, to be spoken into this town by your children, by your ambassadors. Lord, I pray that this town will not be the same because of these people that are going out from this place in your name by the power of your Spirit, God, to finish the work. God, I pray that your work will be done so that you can return. Lord, we want you to come back. Come back, Lord Jesus, come back. Lord, we will do what you called us to, but we ask you to come back. In Jesus' name, amen.